Jimmy is going to review the matchup in its entirety. Here's what I'd like you to do tonight. Tonight, write down on a piece of paper your specific questions regarding the matchup. Make them one-syllable words. Friend, instead of having a bevy of questions coming from the floor tomorrow on the matchup, because it is probably the most significant aspect of this seminar, Jimmy will then answer them from reading them. A couple of people just won a $500-some-odd trifecta, which took them 4 minutes to figure using the matchup. So who of those people who did bet that? Raise your hand real high. Stand up and shout. There's one right back there. $580? $580, was it? Who's the one who told me to tell everybody about it? Where is he?
He's still out there.
He got with you, didn't he, Jimmy? Didn't you two get it together? I know that you picked it, and the other fellow got it. But he lost $1,000 because he got shut out, so he deserved to get $500. Why couldn't you have won $1,000 and shut out with $580? So he paid for his seminar. Anybody want to hold up to this question? Close down for us new members. Oh, come on, somebody admit they would. I don't mind.
Slow down.
Doesn't say slow down. Oh, they didn't even slow down. Teach me how to talk slow, Mary. If you don't have to dig for it, work for it, you'll think it's easy and you'll never win. Ask many of these people who cursed me for a year, who are winners now, and they'll tell you, hey, go change. Keep it hard, because I don't want all those fits out there that I'm taking the money from. You know this money you take when you put it to check? The guy who wants a table of contents. Now look, there are no stupid questions, just stupid answers. Jimmy Cratch, I remember what he said the other day. He says, they say there are no stupid questions, but if you think there are no stupid questions, you ought to run out of that. Somebody who wrote this question is here for me. Said, why use the computer after picking five contenders? Is that what it really says?
Well, you can cast me.
What use, well, here it is. What use is the computer program after picking five contenders? That is to separate those contenders, see who's going to win the race, who has in the race, and come in third to us. But the computer started out once you've got contenders down. A lot of you, you know, the eyeball scan is great, but when you've got $5 or $10 on an eyeball scan, then you can say, I didn't use the computer, I just picked that easy. You got $500 on it, baby. You find out that computer sometimes is the difference between your winning and losing. It's a lot of fun to make a lot of money without a computer, $5 or $10 bets. But, did I satisfactorily end the tandem? The tandem is the tandem reality what program is. Meridian energy versus the track profile. I don't think it's versus the track profile. The track profile that we once made using percentage meridian, now use percentage median. I think he means median, not meridian. If I'm wrong, just correct me, whoever wrote the question. We have many, many questions regarding how to interpret readouts. And tomorrow, Bob will go over the specifics of interpreting the readouts in Synchronism 2. But most of these questions are answered in your basic yellow manual. Those of you, and a lot of questions on the Brohammer model. Those of you, how many of you who asked a question on the Brohammer model have the Brohammer model book? Tom Brohammer and I wrote a book, most of it's his writing, in order to fill it up. I have to add some stuff. And it's not something that you can just go over immediately. Brohammer model essentially is a model of what is winning at the track using the readouts, the program readers. You apply the, if a horse is in the top three W, the top two early, the top three sustained, and that's the parameters of your model. That is the limits of your model. It's not that simple, but that's the essence of the model. Now, somebody said, how come I'm getting so many fours and fives who are winning on my model? The answer to that quite specifically is you're using the wrong table. When your model should conform to the reality, and they should be in the threes and twos. So just improve on your baseline until you're getting the winner into the lower number. Now, we're all going to have fives and fours win the race. We're not going to win the race, but the fives and fours are going to win the race. We're going to lose some races. If you're getting too many fives and fours when you race, quite simply, your baseline selection, your contender selection is weak and you need to work on it. If we have time tomorrow, we'll go over how to make the program tomorrow. What factors do we use in making a copy graph? Use W, early, and sustained as the essential concept. Now, those of you who are not ready for a Brohammer model, read the part of your manual dealing with the line scores. To those of you who can't make a model, those of you who don't handicap enough to make a model consistently, use the line scores as they are described in the yellow manual. The line scores will win for you, as they won for people for years before the sophistication of determining which was more valuable, early or sustained. More details on how to determine an early presser and a sustained presser. Generally speaking, an early presser is a horse that presses within under 2 lengths of the lead, and a sustained Whiskers one impressive face over 2 months and closes on the face. One who is capable of closing on today's projected pace of the race for more than 2 lengths out of the lead. But it's not more than 4 or 5 lengths out, which would make him a pure sustained horse. But that's a judgment call on your part. That's something you should sense. The horse is pressing the pace very early. He's almost an early horse. He's an early presser. If he presses it from a little farther behind, he's a sustained presser. But remember, those designations are something that they're in your own interpretation. There's no rule. Just make sure you don't call an early horse a sustained horse. The other part of our discipline, your slight discrepancy. Michael is going to go into how to relate to fractional velocities to how the race will be run. And the dangerous question is how to take the feet per second and turn it back into feet and lengths and into fractions. We don't want to do that. We're going the other way. You've already got the beaten lengths and the fraction on the racing floor. Don't try to go back to it. Learn to interpret feet per second as feet per second. Don't try to translate it back. Don't try to make the methodology conform to what you like. Make what you like conform to the methodology, or else go back to using something else. If we get time, we're going to show you how to compare fractional times of sprints and runs. We have a formula, it's in your manual. We don't get around to it. It's in there, the formula for doing it. If we have time, I'm going to have Tom Hamilton, who's using it brilliantly, do it tomorrow. Yes, sir.
Back and look at Oregon and find out that four of them have
mile basement, which is pretty good. The bank had set up that raise that they find. Those 4 horses with a mile basement, is that right? Only one horse, because that's probably, that's likely to do the plans. That's one of the ways to get around it, if at all possible, so do the one. So just include you kind of person. Tomorrow, as time will allow, Bob will review for you setup times. If people want to review setup times, consider just how to construct a track profile on a Roehammer model. I would suggest you get the Roehammer model book. It tells you how to do a track profile. The back of your manual is a track profile, and I'll go over once again. You take every morning over a cup of coffee. You take a paper that gives the racing form reproduction of the charts. You merely take it by distance and put it through your variant program or your power generator program, and you write down the high total energy for the day at each distance, the low and the average for that distance per day. You accumulate those over a period of time, and you have an average high, low, and a median. Think in terms of, instead of saying total energy, say final time. Nobody has any trouble keeping a record of final times for you. You're using total energy in lieu of final times. Just profile what final times are winning those three categories by distance. Do it every day and keep an average. That's a track profile. So profile what is winning. If you want to play exact this, you can also make a track profile of the place scores using the same technique. Now you know what the place profile is. This is where we go back to Bergman's thing on concept. If you understand the concept, you've answered the question right away. Now, if that doesn't satisfy you, don't feel that we're putting you down. There's 12 people up here who you can corner in the hall if you have a personal question. But if we can address it to you personally much better than if you still understand. Sprint to route, route to sprint. When the router goes into the sprinter, use the internal fractions. It's completely described in this manual that you got in this seminar. When the sprinter goes into a route, the track profile tells you the total energy difference between the sprint at that level and the route at that level. The difference is the adjustment. The sprinter is 5680, and the router is 55. The difference is 180, right? Sprinter is going longer, you penalize it 1.80 and put it in the open adjustment. It's an energy. Think of the total energy or the varying energy, depending on what you want to call it, as the number that you use. Use the difference. Remember what Kurt said about concept? Where you used to think about speed, adjusting 110 to 111 with 5 ticks. Now think in terms of 5680 to 55, which is 1.8. Just that way. If that's not clear, corner one of us in the hall between now and tomorrow. The banquet's always a good time because everybody's happy, yes. And you can walk up to these guys and ask them anything. Yeah, sure. Marion Jones will address how it is turf races tomorrow. She's finally the best. Does it very well this day. The biggest part of the interpretation of Rios, which we'll do tomorrow. This is one that I want you to, this is wrong. Converting readout numbers to lengths behind or ahead. They're not lengths behind or ahead, folks. That's ticks. That's speed handicapping. That's what we're getting away from. They are units of energy behind or ahead. That's the difference between this and speed handicapping. If you're winning at speed handicapping using ticks, hey, don't quit. But if you're not winning at speed handicapping, don't try to make us go back to the dark ages here. You say it's a length ahead, we say it's 0.17. That's much more precise. So learn to use your tools. Read us again. Okay, this one was a good one. And this is going to be our closing remark tomorrow. About retiring, this person is going to do it on Tuesday. This is not some future thing. He wants to do Tuesday. He's going to guy dropped 20 out of 130.
Oh,
yes. Anyone who finds themselves asking a question to one of the people up here, who says, yeah, but what if this? Or, for instance, supposing it was, but you see, it wasn't. You can only ask questions about what you see if we're addressing a specific race. Not what if that was run on the turf, or not what if that horse had had a long layout or whatever. What is what is, and you must handicap on what is, not what might be, and not what you fear might happen. That which we fear the most will most surely befall us. Shakespeare said it, the Bible said it, Freud said it. You fear something bad enough, be it losing the man's race or getting cancer, and you'll sure get it. And if you fear losing, all it is just prescience of losing. If you go in there, and those of you who have responded to this know that I'm right, correct, I'd say. If you go in there knowing you can't lose, overall, you won't lose. It doesn't work like it did for Newt Rockne. If Notre Dame's football players are half the size of somebody else's football players, Newt Rockne can say the team won't be beat, can't be beat, as long as he wants, and they'll still get beat. Because that's a physiological forces meeting each other. But if you would explore the powers of your mind fully, you would find out that a mind that refuses to be beaten will not be beaten. My daughter will give you the name and address of an outfit in Santa Barbara. We'll give you the sets of little tapes that are marvelous. I'm at my superannuated age, get tired easily sometimes, and get tense. We have a thing where ocean waves are over a voice that says, hey, you're young and full of pep. And I get tingling listening to this stuff, and that really makes me feel great. And it's got stuff on a winning attitude, and you'd be surprised what it does for you. So there are ways to tap the hidden resources of the mind. You can do it, you demonstrate it. If you haven't demonstrated it today, I'd say, hey, we maybe need some more work. You're going to demonstrate it again tomorrow. But the point is, the one we made this morning. We talked about that beautiful forest. Cool, comforting, pine trees reaching to the sky. That's what you're looking for, the beauty of that forest, which is the world of being. Not every race, but enough races to make a living. Handicappers, who are really horse players, walk into that beautiful forest and they see a twisted, gnarled tree that partially burned in the last forest fire, that somebody broke some of the branches off, that is scarred by lightning, and it's distorted and twisted, and they see that tree, and it distorts and twists their ability to perceive and enjoy the beauty of the forest. You stop worrying about the stupid details and just say to yourself, hey, I've got the tools, I've got the mind, I've got the resources to win. But you demonstrated it. I'm talking about those who don't already, aren't already doing it. You've already demonstrated it. You are your own worst enemy. And to some of the questions that are asked, and we're not putting those questions down, don't get me wrong, the questions give us insights into your fears. Some of the questions are nitpicking and nagging and merely are your outward cry of, yeah, but I almost hear tears rendering from your guts. Tears of doubt. Most of those questions are obstacles you're putting in the way of really going in there and doing what this gentleman back here did. Winning that trifecta. Do me a favor, try it. Don't knock it until you try it. Information sure doesn't hurt, but you've got to have the inspiration. Ask some of these people who've got it. Ask these two gentlemen right here. Both of them. Dana, my prize print twins. Stand up big, you know. He read a book. He read a book. Gene Price is his name. He had it all. He had it all down, how to do it mechanically. But he couldn't quite get over that hump of going up the hill and then down again. But he listened to what he had to say, and he read a book by some guy, Dr. Anthony. But crystallize it. He's never really had a losing 20-7 since, at least at that one that I took you over when he had spanked you for. As you believe it, so shall it be, but as you fear it, so shall it be. And those of you who say this is a bunch of metaphysical crap are losing out on the greatest opportunity in the world, because anybody want to volunteer? Those of you who have been therapeutically cleansed and decontaminated, anybody want to volunteer to stand up and let them show there are real people? Come on. Jesus, stand up. Where are you? Al, I need you. Al Russell, just stand up. Have you been decontaminated and cleansed? How about you? How about you, my friend? There are others. Are they wrong? It was damn good. But there are a lot of people who wouldn't believe it before and would believe it. What about you, Spencer? Where are you when I need you? Okay. How about you, my dear friend? Yeah. Well, believe me, we're all struggling. Life is a struggle, but we're, our motive, our goal is to win, is the winning. There was a time when you weren't, a time when you had all these fears and anxieties. Now you know what you're doing.
I sacrifice a pill. No. an inside joke for the folks that know that I have a very small 5 herd of dairy goats. And that comes in handy when you analyze races and finger legs also. An intimate knowledge of goats always helps with finger legs. What I've done is through a method of getting to the alpha level, a meditative state, I condition myself so that I don't do something really before I'm on the form. Looking at the form, picking up the racing form, I feel terrific, I know I'm going to win. And I've more or less conditioned myself to that.
I don't know if anybody here,
rise and speak loudly.
I don't know if anybody here at the top, but I'm sure they do have read the silver mind control.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we taught that concept quite a bit. See, any of those mind control concepts are very good. It's what he's using. It's called affirmation, and that's what Gene Price uses. Now, Michael, can you speak?
Well, did you want to say something? Try to get this.
What? That's a very Western kind of approach, which is fine. For those of you who are more drawn to a more Eastern approach, there's a way to prepare not just for the race, to prepare for everything in your life. And that is, the more clear that your thinking is, the healthier you are in your body, the more relaxed you are, the less stress that you have. To the extent that a technique is good at relieving all of that, there are many, probably the most well-researched and documented as TMs, the one I practice. But it's not specifically, at least I don't believe you sit down and meditate in order to be able to handicap. What a trivial use of that great gift. It's so that you can enjoy all of your life more. And guess what? If your mind is clear, if you're more relaxed in your body, if you're getting along better in your relationships with your family and friends, you must necessarily handicap better. Because you generally sit down and have friends.
You know, this Jimmy Bradshaw walked out on this. He said, she ain't nothing but a dang horse race, but the next one. Well, folks, now that we've gone from the sublime, it is time to go to the ridiculous. I give you a pitch, man.
Somebody wrote Track and Track. Bob explained it pretty well. What was the question?
We've got a couple of them here that we do tomorrow. Because you're going to be doing that, but when you tell them.
Okay.
Go talk to Harvey personally. You tell them, give them the answer personally. Because if he's using synergy to you, then don't worry about it. And some of these questions you have that are not being cleared up here, hey, we've got, especially if you go to the bank, we've got 26 hours. So get them cleared up for you. That's what we're here for. That's how we bring so many people. Great expense. Nothing. A lot of you are asking about one full time. What does it take? Not as a handicapper so much, but what kind of a character does it take? Well, I got a character here, it is. And I'm real proud of him, despite the jokes we make about him. From a high paid insurance executive, suddenly thrust me his job with a couple of weeks severance. He had a decision to make. Go to another insurance company or do this full time. He made this decision well over a year ago, and he hasn't worked a day since. And I am proud of this man because he showed the emotional equanimity necessary to push his crew, he's rude to everybody, he's cruel. But maybe that's what it takes. I give you now. The Pets Bad Boy Kirkle was the guy who was making it, Dick Schmidt.
Thank you, Howard. I don't know quite how to respond to introductions, because I really think I'm just a sweetheart of a guy.
That's
you laughed. Basically, what I want to talk to you about is computer programs. Expand that subject a little bit, because I was asked a number of questions in some of our breaks, specifically about the talks that we heard this morning, where we heard first Tom Brohammer and then Jim Bradshaw and then Michael Pozzola approach some of the same races from completely different and divergent whole philosophies seem to be different. And yet they were all well within the structure of the methodology. Each one of these people is approaching it from a very individualistic point of view. And the question that comes up invariably is which point of view, which one is better? Which one of these people should I emulate? And particularly for beginners, we're not here just as teachers, but as role models. And one of the things that we urge you to do is pick a role model that you're reasonably comfortable with and talk to them, get with them, sit down with them, listen to them, ask them some questions and see if their answers aren't at least phrased in a language that you understand. If Bradshaw is unintelligible to you and Tom Rohrhammer is crystal clear, then he's the one you ask your questions of. On the other hand, if Tom seems like he's just mechanistic to the point of you can't stand it, then probably Jim Bradshaw's the one you need to ask these questions of. And I know there's a lot of confusion out there because in one respect I have sort of a unique vantage point in Perco. I know the deep, dark secrets that lie within each of your computers because I put them there. I have had so many requests for people to put in, well, can you put in synergism, phase 3, ultrascan, the matchup, and contender scan on this computer? How many of you would like to handicap the race 4 times using 4 different programs and just, play the one that comes up on top? That's a very common mistake that beginners make. And I'll make a blanket statement. I've never seen anyone winning using more than one computer program at a time. Now Howard, and to a certain extent Bert Main, I guess he left, there he is, it can switch computer programs a little bit. But basically, once you have a mindset, you kind of want to stay with that. The newcomers have a couple standard responses. When I give them a standard speech, just heard most of them. You really should pick one program. I might run it through Multiscan and Phase 3 and Synergism and whatever else I can get my hands on and see which one is best, which one picks the most winners. The other thing that they say is they enjoy doing research. I guarantee you, no one in the world enjoys doing research. Trust me on that. I've been doing research now on a program for a year. Research is a horror. Do you remember there's a scene that's so vivid in the movie Gandhi where the Indians are protesting the British manufacturer of salt, I believe it is, and they cross their arms and they walk up and the guards club them to the ground and then they carry away blood streaming down their faces and they get up again and they walk up and totally peacefully and they're clubbed to the ground. That's research! Believe me! Truly it is! Clubbed and clubbed again and wrong than Jim Bradshaw. I said, Jimmy, it doesn't work this way. Well, let's fix it, Nicky. And he would. But that's, you don't want to do research. Trust me on that one. But what I think you're all looking for is some sort of a holy grail, a best program. Because we're sort of programmed by our society to look for that. I'm sorry, there just is no perfect program, any more than there is a perfect approach to the races. Now, it's true that some of our programs are definitely better. Synergism 2 is a definite improvement over Synergism 1. Synergism 1 will get you more winners than contenders can. But there is also a dichotomy among our programs that is there intentionally, because there are different types of users. What isn't true is that by using these various programs in some sort of a synthesis together, you're going to create super program. It just isn't going to happen. So I'd like to just take a brief look at what I consider the 3 viable approaches that are generally available within the methodology. If someone out there is using something else, we every once in a while put a couple together, a program or two, and try it out. And sometimes somebody's, well, Open sticks with it. But these are the three that are generally available and that we generally talk about. And first off, is plain old vanilla phase three. Most of the beginners are urged to start with phase three. To really use this program at its optimum level, however, you need to use very carefully handcrafted daily variants. That seems to be a requirement of level of performance. You need to make allowances for distance changes, surface changes, class changes, track changes. There's a lot of work. The prime practitioner of this aspect of the methodology is Tom Brohammer, who you all heard earlier today and yesterday. The requirements are that you must keep absolutely meticulous records, and you're willing to spend 5 or 6 hours a week per track on your variance, which is something that Tom does and very few other people are willing to do. The second viable approach is to use synergism. I think the key to mastering synergism, besides the things that you use for every program, such as the matchup,